This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour of our week. It's Brock and Salk. This hour brought to you by Tackle.com, T-A-K-L. Got those guys coming out to the house later, Brock.
Oh, you do?
They're going to remove some bushes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. These things died.
Just about everything, huh?
I got some, what is it? How do you pronounce that? Arborvita? Arborvita?
Yeah. Oh, good question. Call Hamburg's dad. He'll tell you.
Whatever that is. I got some. No, it's not a rhododendron. It's an Arborvitae. I think it's Arbor.
Oh, it's a fern.
Okay, whatever. No, it's not a fern, but it died, and it needs to be removed. So those guys are going to come out and get rid of that thing for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
You don't
want to
get your hands dirty.
I mean, I don't have a shovel.
You're not a green thumb. You don't have a shovel.
I don't have a big enough shovel.
You don't have a big enough shovel.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I have like a trowel type shovel thing, like one of those small ones. But I don't have I don't have a good enough shovel to get that done. So
you don't have a pick.
Hey, you guys are going to make you guys laugh all you want. You just wait a couple weeks. You know what I'm doing. I'm going to be coming in here crowing on a Monday morning. You guys will have to shut up forever.
Bunch of tomatoes?
No. Heather's been growing tomatoes, but that's beside the point. No. I'm going camping.
Buddy, Mike.
In a
what
tent.
Do you mean by that? What?
In a tent camping. I'm
like
going
in your backyard?
Camping. No.
In your basement?
No. I am
to the gorge to see fish?
Yeah. I am going camping. Heather and me and the kids. We're going with our friends, the Morses. We are going camping.
No way.
Yes way.
Whoa.
How many Uber Eats are you going to order to get your meals?
I am not ordering any Uber Eats. Now, I bought a sleeping bag. Heather and I bought an air mattress, which I didn't even know we could do these days.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, you just sleep on the ground when we went camping. I have not been camping since I was 14. Whoa. So this will be the first time since then that I have been camping.
You are fully committed.
I shouldn't say that.
Okay.
I was very
clear.
There's
a couple caveats.
If it rains, I'm not doing it. But other than that, and it shouldn't rain in late July, I am committed to go camping unless it rains.
Or any other stipulations you've put on it?
I mean, I would assume that includes snow or
fire.
Right. I mean, right.
Okay. Really, any natural disaster.
Yes, if there's any sort of weather issue.
Why have you shared this with us?
Well, I've been sort of...
he's still kind of on the fence about it.
Brian, I mean, it's been busy. We've been talking a lot of Mariners. I bought a sleeping bag this week. The first sleeping bag I've ever had that's in that mummy shape instead of the big rectangle.
Oh, yeah.
Rectangle isn't cool anymore, huh? Like when we were kids.
No.
Now you got to have a mummy.
You're losing heat.
Right. Okay. So I've got that. We are borrowing a 4-person tent. We bought the little air mattress thing. What do you mean? For the 4-person
tent? Yeah, you always cut the number in half.
But two of the kids are like 50, 30. Yeah,
you're going to regret a 6-person.
You're going to regret a 4-person tent.
Well, it's the one we're borrowing, so I'm not spending money.
You want 6 to 8.
6 to 8?
Yeah.
It's like a circus tent.
Yes.
I think I went to a wedding in a 6 to 8-person tent. It's a little crowded, but nevertheless. All right, well, I'll tell you how it goes.
Oh, we'll be talking about it.
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure you will tell us how it works.
How dare you, Kyle? What's the matter with you? Text messages on this. Salk, what hotel are you camping at? Salk, I can't wait for you to antagonize a skunk into spraying you.
Can you give us a general area where you're going to be doing this?
I don't know yet. I'm not in charge of the camping. I am not in charge of the place. Rob is in charge of where we're going.
Wow.
Originally, he wanted to camp on some sort of farm. But then he decided that was basically camping in somebody's backyard and that he didn't really want to do that.
Did you tell him that's what you prefer?
No, I want to camp. I want there to be some sort of river or creek nearby.
You can go camping with us. I think we're going the same weekend up in Cleella.
Nope, that's not going to happen. I want no part of camping
on a river.
With the Howdies. Nope. Out, no chance.
Howdy scoped out secret spots for years.
Yeah. I've heard some of your camping stories. Like, you don't get into the campsite on time. You, like, lost and left your wife
in
one of them. You were camping at, like, a bachelor party. Like, no.
Yeah.
No chance. No chance.
I found a coupon. We can go together. 2 for 1.
Coupon? You need a coupon to go camping?
I found one.
What does that mean?
It's cheaper that way.
Return the air mattress. Get a foam pad. No, I'm not doing that. If you bought a queen-size air mattress, that'll take up the entire 4-person tent.
Yep,
fine.
True.
So
that's
we'll all sleep there together. It's not any different than any other night.
Not a good idea.
The kids are always crawling in a bed. At least Wendell won't be there.
I'm going to see how big my tent is, and you're going to borrow our tent.
How big is your tent?
It's bigger than 4-person.
Really?
Oh, come on.
That sounds awesome. I would love to have that.
I think it is 6 to 8.
He has a custom-made tent.
Text message. Salk, are you using Tackle to have someone go for you on your camping trip?
Ha ha ha!
I may. Look, here's the
at
only
least
other
to set up the tent.
The only other stipulation I made is that we're not hiking into the woods to do the camping. I want to camp near the car just in case.
Quick exit.
Just in case at 2 in the morning I decide, forget this, we're leaving. Like, I want that to be a possibility
tell
for
you
me.
How badly I'd like a drone to just be following you this
what?
Entire
oh, no.
weekend.
I'm
oh,
really curious gosh. How you're going to eat on this trip. I'm really
well,
curious.
Well, so here's a couple of questions. So I'm, you know,
I think it's the drinking that will be more noteworthy.
Well, that's definitely happening. Flask is a mandatory for this thing. I already asked Rob if that was acceptable, and I was told bourbon was just fine. So, no, I'll have the I'll have my Traverse, which is giant. I'll have plenty of room to sleep in that thing. If things really go awry in the
true.
Camp, I can leave my wife and kids in the tent, and I can go into the car and sleep in my Traverse. So that's an easy answer if need be. I think I'm going to be fine. And food, like, why wouldn't I eat the food?
What are you going to eat?
I don't know. Burgers or something? Hot dogs? Like, what do you mean?
Like, how are you going to cook it and prepare it?
I can build a fire.
Okay. You can open fire, cook a burger?
I've done that.
Okay. All yeah. right. Well, good for you.
I mean, I can't cook a fire. I'm sorry. You'd have to put a grill.
Forgive us. You don't own a shovel. So starting a fire seems like a little bit of a stretch.
No, I was good at starting fires when I was a kid. Has that changed at all in the last 25 years? Are there new is there something? Is there new theory on fire starting?
What are you going to do if it's a burn ban?
Can we get to the Mariner game, please?
Not go? That would be another stipulation about not going. That's pretty easy, Howdy. Just a burn ban. Is that something that happens here in July?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I guess I'd be out then. How do people cook then on their camping trip?
They use their Coleman stoves.
Oh, well, then I hope our friends have a Coleman stove. I don't have any of that stuff. I'm all right.
There were half a dozen plays in the last night's Mariner game.
I could argue about this whole thing forever, so yes. I guess we'll have to move on and talk about last night's game instead. But I'm sure the text machine will continue to send ideas and thoughts and make fun of me for what I'm going to try to do. This is why I don't try to do these things, because all you guys do is make fun of me when I do.
Oh, it's everyone else's fault.
Yeah, it's everybody else's fault.
Oh. Right.
You want a couple of plays from last night's game?
Yes.
How about Guillermo Heredia going off?
Here's the pitch. Swung on and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Hopton going back. It's over his head. The ball bounces off the wall. A short hop. Gamble running third, being waved in. A bobble by Upton. Gamble will score, standing up on a double to left field by Guillermo Heredia. And the Mariners have taken the lead 2-1 over the Angels here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Guillermo Heredia with his second hit, his second double, and his 10th RBI of the year. 2-1 Mariners.
Isn't it amazing, Brock? The guy who's not supposed to be in the lineup always seems to find a way to beat you.
Yes. Yeah, and he needed that. I was saying to Titus and Uncle Luke late last night as we're watching that, it's like, man, I remember Guillermo being able to pull the ball, right, and having a little pop, and not big time, and it's not like he's going to be a 15 or 20 home run guy ever, but he would just at times just kind of rip that ball down the left field line and just get a little juice. It's been a long time since he had an extra base hit, and to get two of them last night could not have felt better for him and exactly what this team needs.
Yeah,
you know,
Just
again, another, you know, exactly to your point. You just never know on any given night who is going to come through and deliver. And last night, Heredia
was not legit. It does often seem to be the guy, though, who's not supposed to be in the game that day, right? I mean, Cole Calhoun the other day comes up with a hit after entering because Chris Young hurt himself. Yep. In this case, you got Mitch Haniger scratched right beforehand, and the guy who is not supposed to be there today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Exactly. He shows up and comes up with a big hit. Scott Servais, they've been working on this with him.
I think he's a better hitter when he's pulling. And I don't say that about many players, but he is one. Got the head of the bat out tonight. He was on time. It was great to see. You know, he's been struggling. He knows he wants to add offensively, even though he does a great job defensively. And, you know, you need those nights once in a while to keep him going. Hopefully he rides this one here.
Did you love – you didn't get to see it because you were having to watch the Angels broadcast, but Jen went over to interview him, and Nelson Cruz translated for it after the game.
Cool.
It was pretty cool. And just the smile and warmth and energy that like kind of shines through Guillermo Heredia's eyes is pretty awesome.
I think truly, and it would be – probably difficult for him to communicate, but I think truly he is one that so badly wants to help his teammate next to him more than himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I say that. I've never heard just the way he expresses himself in every other nonverbal way is like, I want to carry the load too.
Mm.
Right. What Scott just said, he wants to help this team. He doesn't want to be a 650 OPS guy. He can't have too many 650 OPS guys, especially in the outfield and second base positionally. You need a little bit more juice than that. And I think he would be a guy right at the top of the list that so badly wants to do this for the others around
why
him.
Why can't he steal bases? And he's not good at it. I mean, he is, according to, I saw Luke Arkins putting this on Twitter the other day, he's the second fastest player on the team behind D. Gordon. I mean, he's fast. He's a great defensive outfielder. He's an exceptionally good base runner, but he's not a good base stealer. Isn't that weird?
No, he's got just one of those.
Why is that? It's so strange that he just isn't good at that. I wonder whether that's something that D can teach him or help him with along the way. Should be nice to add that part to his game. All right, other plays from last night's game that sort of represent bigger themes. Oh, this is a heck of a play right here.
Here's the pitch on the way and a swing and a miss by Trout for strike three. And Mike Trout strikes out for the third time in tonight's ball game. Marco Gonzalez got him twice, and now Alex Colome strikes out. Trout swinging here in the top of the eighth inning. One away for the Angels here in the eighth.
Kind of a quiet series for Mike Trout. He did pull his hands in to rip a double down the line yesterday, which was just incredible, and he makes a bunch of nice plays in the outfield as well. But strikes out three times, two of them on balls. He was not happy about them, and then Colome got him with a vicious slider last night.
What did I say going into this series? What did I want to accomplish more than anything else? Obviously, you want to win the series or at least get one of them. And, they got more than one. They got two and added a game and put now the Angels 12 games behind them, 88 games into the season. But I did not want Trout to go off. He hit like 800 in the series at home against the Mariners earlier. He was 2-10 with three walks and no RBIs. He was 2-10 on the series with no RBIs, three intentional walks, and did no damage. And I think that's a testament and credit to the way they managed against him. They put him on base three different times. It's a testament to Mel Stottlemyre, maybe all the video that they watched, in attacking some of the edges, attacking up in the strike zone a little bit more than I remember against him in the past. And he was a non-factor in this series, a big reason why you won it.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. The other part of that that matters is the fact that Colome actually looked pretty good. And I know he gives up a couple of hits, and it took a diving play from D. Gordon. But before that, I thought that at bat against Trout was the best I've seen him look since coming to the Mariners.
Yeah, it was like 96, right?
97. 97 at the top of the zone, and then an actual depth on, well, I don't know if it's a slider or a cutter, but whatever it is, it actually moved enough to get Mike Trout to bite on it and miss. I thought that if that is what he can be, if that's the platonic form of Colome, give me more of that, please, because that's a guy that can really help you in the eighth inning. If there was some positive last night, it was not entirely so. This drove me nuts.
Base is jam-packed with two outs and a full count to Kyle Seager. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss for strike three. Breaking ball gets Seager, who strikes out and leaves him loaded.
Was that a nine-pitch at-bat with eight balls?
That's exactly what it was. There was one ball in the strike zone. That's it. That was it. You know, it's interesting. Quick little story. You want a quick little story?
Yeah.
I think
I've told this before, so I don't want to be like Jim Rome. You got me a little paranoid about Jim Rome telling stories and retelling them. I had in my season as I was a starter for the Seahawks, started all of four games.
Season?
Did not finish two of them and was injured in the other two. but going into, I think, my second start, started against the Colts and then got hit, unfortunately, kind of tweaked my knee and pulled my groin on the same kind of hit down on like an end zone fade. And I missed like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday's practice. I hobbled. I remember Kitna coming to me on Friday. He's like, "You're going to play so good this weekend." I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "No, seriously. When you're injured," he goes, "some of my best games were when I was fighting through some injury because I had to spend a bunch of energy just trying to fight through that. And like the game came easy. I wasn't even focusing on, I was just reacting. I was just playing the game because I had to focus just on getting through the injury." And I listened to Service the other day. Service had a comment about Kyle Seager, and he said, yeah, it's not a surprise that he's hit like 400 the last 10 games because of his toe, because he's, you know, in some pain and he's fighting through that. And he's like out of his own head that he's not trying to do too much or think too much. And I just, man, I know I probably, what is it called when I put my own thoughts on somebody? I probably
project.
Do that. I probably project way too much. Thank you, Howdy, for that word. I probably project way too much on Michael Saunders, on Kyle Seager, on some of these guys. Maybe it isn't just all totally between their ears, but I just look at their body language. I just watch them at times, and I think, just get out of your own head, man. You are your worst own enemy so many times, and certainly was in that bat in the seventh last night. Because he couldn't do the damage if he hits a double or just a walk or you just play some add-on.
I mean, a walk at least makes it a four-run game and you don't need to use the best guys in the back end of your pen and you can get them a rest. And instead, it's a strikeout on pitch. I mean, the first swing was 8 feet over his head and it's just sort of waving at it.
Yep.
I mean, look, he's done some good things recently. He's not just bashed Kyle Seager today and his defense has been incredible. So, But that is a tough at bat to watch in that spot.
So can a guy ever get out of his head?
I don't know. I mean, I think he just needs some confidence. And the next thing you know, he's on a tear and you get to see the old Kyle Seager again. But I'm sure it's frustrating for him right now, being one of the only guys who's not contributing. In the meantime, player who has not been hitting all of a sudden broke out last night. That was D. Gordon.
The 2-2. Swinging its shot down the right field line. A fair ball bounces into the corner. This might have three written on it. Gordon quickly into second base. He makes the turn. He's going into third. And he waltzes in. He tiptoes into third base. It's a stand-up triple near the bottom of the seventh for D. Gordon.
Might have three written on it. That was three the moment that ball went into the corner. Forget it. Good luck.
And he should have another double and an RBI. An amazing play there by Marte, is it, at first base?
Yeah, he made a nice play on that.
Oh, my goodness. Was that a great play?
Yeah, Angels made a couple of nice plays. How about the ball right after D. Gordon's catch, the ball that Healy hit that was stung and just hung up long enough for the left fielder to get there? But, yeah, they made a couple of nice plays in that
Is D. Gordon faster than Ichiro in his prime? If Ichiro 01 through 06... Right, and I know some of this predates you and your time here, Saul.
Yeah, I don't know that I saw him enough every day to be able to tell. What do you guys think?
D. Gordon right now in his prime, Ichiro kind of in his prime, right? Late 20s, early 30s. Who's faster on a baseball field? It'd be fun if they wore what the college guys wear. You know, all these college programs, NFL, have a system called the catapult system. And it's something they put on their shoulder pads and they wear, and it measures their velocity. It measures acceleration, right? It measures distance they've covered and run in a practice and in games and everything else. It'd be fascinating if you had that kind of system on D. Gordon and you could see how many miles per hour he's cranking up to when he is booking.
I think they have a feet per second reading on him. I saw this the other day. It was like 29 feet per second, something like that is where he's at. So essentially he's rounding a base in 3 seconds. He's going from base to base.
I don't know if they had that data back then
when Ichiro was doing it,
or if they can do it now and go back and look at some of that.
In terms of guys I've ever watched sort of on a regular basis, he and Jacoby Ellsbury, when he first came up, those are the two fastest I've ever watched on a regular basis. And it has been really fun to watch D. Gordon. As great as that triple was, and kind of fun to see him scoring on the weird Baltimore chop. I love Segura's face afterward, just kind of snickering at the fact that he hit that ball, 100 feet in the air, whatever it was, off the plate. There is no substitute for this, man.
The stretch and the 1-1 pitch, swinging a broken band, line drive, diving. Gordon makes the catch in shallow center field. D. Gordon parallel with the ground. A Superman catch. Holy smokes. He robs Kinsler of a base hit, and he saves a run here in the top of the eighth inning. What a catch by D. Gordon, flying through the air, landing on his belly out there in shallow center field. What a catch by Gordon, and the side is retired.
Was that a broken bat? Rick said it. I didn't realize that when I watched it. Was that a broken bat hit?
It kind of sounded like it in listening to that replay, and that's certainly what Rizzer, with his decades of being around baseball, is listening to. Yeah, it sure sounded like it. I didn't realize it then.
One of the best I've seen, man. That was such a great play. I mean, just as you're watching, that's a hit. Oh, my God, it's not. What do you mean it's not a hit? That's supposed to be a hit. That's always a hit. And that guy just took it away from him. Pretty incredible.
There are 4-4 guys in the 40. I'll use a 40-yard dash here. There are 4-4 guys, 4-6 guys, and 4-8 and above. And if you fit into any of those, you kind of know where you are athletically. Like 4.8 and above, just not really that fast. 4.6 can get by. 4.4, pretty unique.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's those one percenters, right? Then there's the Percy Harvins or the John Rosses or the D. Gordons that are even above a 4, Joey Galloway, that are even faster than a 4.4. And it allows you to accelerate, allows you to make plays that very few in the sport can do. And I don't know if there's – I mean, if Buxton's playing second base, the center fielder there for Minnesota is probably the fastest guy in person that I've watched. Is it Marte, the outfielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates? I watched him last year go first to home and Safeco in an absolute blur. But as far as just how many humans play Major League Baseball that can accelerate, that can extend, that can finish through contact with the ground on that play, there's just one hand.
Couple of texts on this here. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Who is faster? Ichiro has him on speed. No way Ichiro was faster. D is faster, and I love Ichiro. Ichiro is way faster. Ichiro has him. Here's the thing. I think Ichiro had a lot more infield hits and was faster home to first because he was halfway to first base by the time he hit the ball.
That
I mean, you got to count the extra like 5 or 6 feet that he would get before even hitting the ball. That's remarkable. In terms of going first to third or first to second, I think D is faster than Ichiro, but I didn't watch him every day. I don't know. I don't know how that. I don't know how to judge that.
Did you go back like I did and watch on that that old chopper by Segura? D was at home plate before the ball landed.
Oh, in the third. Not surprisingly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just laughable. He is just, and you saw it in person. I think you said, what, 2 weeks ago when you're sitting there in the really good seats there in the Diamond Club, and when he goes first to home, that was
nuts.
Unlike anything you've seen in person.
It's the explosion he has at the end of plays, and the three or four best plays I've seen from him this year, the explosiveness at the very end has come up. One was that play against the Angels when he scored in the double, and the whole way around I'm going, he's going to be out. And then he just explodes at the end. One was
tagged up from third.
Yeah, the one he tagged up from third on a ball that was like just over the second baseman's head. Right fielder's coming in. You're like, oh my God, he's going to score. And he looks like he's going to be out until the explosiveness on the drive. And I thought that's what you saw last night on the play at second base, where the dive and the ability to gain so much distance and explosiveness on his dive is crazy.
Yeah.
That was a remarkable play. And it is so rare to see somebody not only dive but reach up back at the same time and then land softly enough to catch it. I mean, that ball hit the top of his glove. He brought it back with the glove, with the fingers of the glove, and that it doesn't fall out when he lands is incredible. I figured he would drop it when he landed.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. The amount of force and the amount of acceleration when you do that, and we've seen that any number of times, guys, in the outfield. Gamble had a play earlier this year, right? An amazing play where he's fully extended, and same deal, that you just dive with that kind of acceleration. But to keep the ball in glove was truly remarkable. And the service said post-game, totally changed that game, right? The tone, the tenor of all of it. Ohtani was going to come up. The momentum was going to have shifted. It's going to be a two-run game, and that nightmare was coming in to pinch hit. And instead, you take that three-run lead, you button it up, you give it to Diaz, and you go 56-32 on the season.
I think he's one of the lowest, and I think we see why. He can make all the plays, tremendous range, instincts are good. I thought David Fletcher made an outstanding play last night, and then I saw the one tonight. And, when he left his feet, you're kind of holding your breath, and oh, my gosh, and he somehow got to it. It just, again, we were up by a few runs in the ballgame at the time, but it just changes, as the rest of the game plays out. And, Mr. Trout maybe doesn't come to the plate again because you make the play. So, fun guy to watch, that's for sure.
He sure was last night. Tell you who else is pretty fun to watch, and it might get lost in a game where, again, you have these great plays by D. Gordon and, what you see from Diaz at the end. But don't sleep on what Marco Gonzalez did last night.
The 3-2 on the way. Swing and a miss by Upton. Strike three. Back-to-back strikeouts for Marco Gonzalez, who now has 7 strikeouts on the day. Back-to-back strikeouts of Mike Trout and Justin Upton.
Yeah, 6 innings, only 1 run despite not really having his good stuff, traffic on the bases all throughout. He knew that this was something he couldn't have done a few years ago.
I haven't always been that pitcher. And frankly, being healthy and having a new approach this year has been a huge help with that. And the old me probably would have made it through 3 tonight and maybe called it a game and get taken out. So I'm very fortunate in making strides in the right direction in that sense and just figuring out how to battle in those tough situations when you might not have your best stuff.
I was a little surprised to see him in the 6th inning, Brock. I thought that he would probably be done after 5. He got to Kinsler, and I was like, I don't know. 100 pitches, I don't know the reason. And yet, finds a way to battle through, goes 1-2-3 in the 6th, and really earns that win.
Man, he is so built for this stadium. Right, you just look at his last 5 starts. This comes from the Mariners notes last night. You realize his last 5 starts at home, he's averaged nearly 8 innings in those starts. 39 innings pitched in those 5 home starts, 4-0 in a 1.38 ERA. I mean, just another one of these guys with Paxton, with Mike Leake, many times with Wade LeBlanc, even with Felix, who's going to go tonight with the Kings Court, hopefully rocking and setting the tone against Colorado as they begin this series. Just another one of these starting pitchers that has set the tone for this team just a game and a half back in the West.
Just tremendous. Great job by him last night. Kudos to Marco. Kudos to the rest of this team. They take 2 out of 3 from the Angels. That makes the Angels 12 back, and the whole AL West landscape has entirely shifted. I want to talk about that coming up here in a minute. Plus, the inevitable has occurred, why it's not as bad as it could be. It's all next here on Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Danny O'Neill weighing in, Brock.
Oh, yeah.
Says he'd pay $40 to watch me set up a tent on my own for the first time. Me Joke's too. On you, Danny. I've set up a tent before.
Me too.
It's been a while. Is it still the same? Is it Does it change?
No, I like to see you set up the multi-compartment.
Oh, I've never done that. But I used to set up a normal tent.
Gore-Tex cover.
Gore-Tex cover. You have to, like, take the stakes and drive them. I've done all that.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, come on. Where's the respect? How come nobody's respecting my ability as a camper? I haven't done it in 25 years, so I guess
we're just concerned about you.
What do you mean you're concerned? I'm going to be fine. You don't think I'm going to be okay out there?
We'll be fine, but you get really bothered by little things, and there are a lot of little things you haven't considered.
Like what?
Like, where are you going to sit when you go camping?
In the car. I don't know. Bring up a chair or something, I guess. Can I bring one of my living, like, kitchen chairs or something like that?
Just tie it to the roof. Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to go in the water
with
the kids?
There's plenty of room in the back of the Traverse. Huh? Am I going to go in the water with the kids? I hope
not.
Yeah,
you said you want to be by a river.
Yeah, but I don't want to go in it.
You're going to go by the river. What are they going to wear on their feet when they go in the river?
They've got water shoes.
You have some?
I have flip-flops.
Not great for a river. You need river sandals. You need, like, some Tevas.
I don't have that, and I'm not buying that. So what's next?
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming, man. I'm ready to go. I'm not buying river sandals. I mean,
that's part of the problem you run into.
Yes, is that if you're not...
You've got to be willing to buy.
Right.
You got to be willing to buy some of these things.
But that means you've got to commit to it.
A carpenter's only as good as a set of tools.
Right.
A camper's only as good, largely, as their set of tools.
Right, and if you're not going to do it all the time, how much...
You're going to skimp.
But that's because I'm not going to do it a lot. Like, those things are all good investments if it's something you'd like to do every weekend. Like, sure, I camp all the time. Of course I'm going to get a really nice... sleeping bag and a great tent and cool chairs and Tevas and everything else you need.
The Coleman outdoor cooking.
But I'm not going to do this very often, so I'm sampling it.
Right.
Now, I may be stacking the deck against it so that I don't have to do it again.
Yes.
But
I just want you to have as good a time as you can have.
And I don't want that. Then I'll have to do it again.
Why don't you do a little tutorial with him, Howdy?
Yeah,
Howdy.
Well, one
that's
thing
we're
gonna
talking
do,
about.
We're going to bring in a tent, and Mike is going to set up a tent downstairs, huh? And we're going to videotape it, just to make sure he knows how to do it.
We didn't know if the funnier part would be watching Mike set up the tent or watching Mike realize how small the four-person tent is.
I saw
like,
four-person
both of these
tent.
Parts are going to be
no,
really
no, no,
good.
No. I saw a four-person tent at REI. It looked awesome. It had like a living room. It had a TV in there. It looked awesome. It looked like a Holiday Inn. I'm
and
sure
that nightstand that charges your iPhone without plug-in?
Pretty sure I'll be just fine. We finally got to see an injury. It's been a little while, and you knew they were going to come for the Mariners, Brock. Mike Zunino scratched before the game, and he goes on to the DL with this ankle issue. And then don't sleep on whatever happened to Mitch Haniger. I don't know how serious that one is, but it better not be. He was walking real slow after running into that wall the day before. Managed to finish out the game on Wednesday, legs out the double. So I have to imagine he's going to be okay. But I would say that after Gene Segura, he's got to be their most irreplaceable position player, right?
Mitchie right now?
Would you say Segura's one, he's two?
Probably.
All right. Yeah. And by the way, just if we all agree that Segura's one, did the Mariners get any credit for the fact that during a bunch of those losses in Boston and New York, they didn't have Gene Segura?
No.
Like, that doesn't mean anything to anybody? Just like, eh, whatever.
Means something to me.
I mean, they were without the guy we just said is their best
player. Like a benefit of the doubt or an excuse or something like that?
At least the benefit of the doubt to the people are like, well, they stunk against Red Sox and Yankees.
Right.
Like, okay, they weren't perfect. They did blow a couple of five-run leads, and they were missing arguably their best player.
Yeah, their best player. 2.7 WAR. Mitch Haniger, 2.6 right behind him. So those are going to be the two most irreplaceable. The only guy is a couple games better than a replacement value player. And they're much more than that. They're much more than I think the stats bear that out. And without Robbie Cano, your typical number three hole hitter, Mitch has filled that void pretty darn well. Mm. Second in the league in RBIs. You'd be going down to your third guy. And Denard Span, bless his heart, great professional at bats. He's not a three-hole hitter. He's not who you want between Segura and Nelly Cruz and, you know, try to continue to do some
damage. But you can at least say this. I mean, if they have to be without Haniger for a couple of days, I mean, the nice thing is that both Gamel and Span have been hitting. And you've been sort of looking for the right way to put both those guys in the lineup. So maybe this will be it for a couple of days, and then you get Haniger back. As for Zunino, going to be 2 or 3 weeks, according to Scott Servais. This is not good news. I tried to spin it that way earlier, and it's a stretch. But at the very least, I thought Mike could use some time off, and maybe this will give it to him, and he'll be healthier, stronger, better rested down the stretch, and maybe it'll help the batting average a little bit.
Yeah, you know, he had some time off earlier this year, obviously, with an injury with the oblique. So
start the year, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, he seems to be such a timing guy. You know, I mean, the hitting goes up and down, and – Obviously, the Zanino June last year was off the charts, and he finished strong. And, yeah, hopefully he can find a little bit of rhythm. So, I don't know. I can't spin that in any positive. Not as instrumental as he has been to me behind the plate.
But you could spin this positively. At least it's not the pitchers. Like, you can sort of handle a hitter or two being out like this and find other ways to win. They start dropping pitchers like this, and you're going to have a completely different conversation about where they're at.
Yeah, and you talk about some of those pitchers and what they've done. These Mariners stats, man, just reading these emails have been so fun. Everything, right, when you're winning. You know, we used to say this in the NFL, like everyone's happy on a Monday in the NFL. The trainers are happy. The secretary at the front desk is happy. The cook's happy. Like everybody is happy when you find a way to win on a Sunday. On a day-to-day basis, there are so many things that are so fun when it comes to what the Mariners are doing. Even their email after the game with their game notes. Mariners starters are now 26-9 since May 8th. Their 743 winning percentage during that span ranks first in the majors, even ahead of that quartet or fivesome there in Houston, who are just a game back in the win-loss column with their starters 26-9 and have been just so dominant at home, really creating a home field advantage. Right now, 30-15 at home. We talked for years about this team playing to their ballpark, and Jack Zarenczyk tried to move the fences in and out and tried to, you know, have power hitters and then tried to have speed guys and kind of moved it all over the place. And it's been very clear from day one that Jerry and Scott were going to build this thing to be difficult to play against, both home and away, but really take advantage of a home field that we haven't seen since the early 2000s, and they continue to build on those home efforts.
In the meantime, you find yourself doing a lot of scoreboard watching now here in July. I mean, I'd probably start doing it as early as May, but here we are in early July, and I'm definitely watching the scoreboard. It means every night I'm looking at the Red Sox, I'm looking at the Astros, I'm looking at the Yankees, I'm looking at the A's, I've been looking at the Angels, I started looking at Tampa. Do you think at 12 games behind the Mariners, it's safe to stop really looking at what the Angels and Rays do on a nightly basis?
Not really. I'd like to see them continue to plummet, and I'd like to see the Angels sell and see what they're going to do with some of these different pieces that they have.
But you don't have to be. You don't have to curse every time they win. Like with the A's at 7.5 back of the Mariners, they've now playing really good ball. They're 48-39 on the year.
Good pitching staff.
They've won 8 of their last 10. They might have the best 8-9 combination around. What Trinan and is that how you pronounce it? Trinan and Trevino have done at the end. Both guys with a WHIP under 1 and an ERA under 1.5. They are filthy at the end of every single game. And then you got Jed Lowry's had a really, really good year. Chris Davis is still there. I mean, that's a decent team. I don't know that they're as scary as the Angels, but they've certainly played a lot better. I mean, 48-39 is not a joke, and they're 7.5 back. They go to Cleveland now, and then they go to Houston. So hopefully this road trip breaks
and
them.
Houston for 4, right? And wouldn't that be fun? You take care of business.
But who are you rooting for there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You take care of business at home this weekend where you know, as I just referenced, are 30-15 and having a brilliant first half of the season at home. You know, you have the Monday off, and then you're going to go to Anaheim and try to continue to play 600 ball against them. You're 6-3 against them on the season. Get 3 more with them before the All-Star break there. And while you're battling the Angels, you've got the Astros and the A's. Mm. And I'll be rooting for the Indians to sweep the A's, and then the A's to go into Houston and sweep them.
Yeah. In the meantime, Houston plays nobody. The Red Sox play nobody. The Yankees play nobody. I mean, like everybody else who's kind of ahead of you. And by the way, the Red Sox and Yankees are important to be rooting against too. You're only 2 games behind New York for that first wild card. And as much as you'd love to just be in the playoffs, I mean, you know, if you're not able to catch Houston, sure, it would be nice to host that game instead of having to go to either Fenway or Yankee Stadium. Don't you think?
Agreed.
Completely different team.
Either Severino or Sale in one game in their part. Yeah. Rather have it at your place where you're much more equipped and built.
Yeah. So there you go. That's kind of where you're at, what to look for this weekend. From just a baseball fan perspective, as much as you've loved watching, you know, hate watching Trout against the Mariners, but kind of appreciate who he is, the whole Ohtani situation, all the guys who play for Houston that you become accustomed to seeing. Have fun watching Nolan Arenado this weekend. He is ridiculously good. He's led the National League in home runs 2 of the last 3 years and leads it again this year. He's been a Gold Glove player every single year of his career. He is a dynamite player to watch at third base for the Rockies.
Hey, a quick question for you. Back to the camping conversation. You said he used to be really good at building fires.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
What do you mean? How did I build them?
Yeah.
You know, with birch bark and then small twigs and stuff and then larger logs on top of that.
Like with flint or with a match?
With
or...
a match. I mean, oh, I wouldn't use
flint. Oh, I got you. I mean, so you love, like, organizing the fire. You love, like, the kind of build.
Yeah. What okay. I mean, what other parts of it would it, I mean...
Well, I just didn't know.
Are there people that use flint?
I didn't know if you used glass or flint or just kind of went all in. Like,
no,
really.
I'm sorry. I haven't done all that. But I was a kid. But I really did enjoy kind of building the fire, that's getting it all great. Going, stoking it throughout the night.
Yeah, okay.
I definitely enjoyed that,
that
part of it.
Love that.
And I've created a tent before, or at least set one up.
Created. Yep. Nice.
Right, maybe not created.
Word
but
choice.
But I set one up. What do you want in my life? What do you want?
I want to know where you're going to go camp in a couple weeks.
We don't know so yet. Rob's got to decide. There have been a bunch of different options.
Oh, I just can't.
Why do you want to know? What's the difference? It's going to be somewhere other than my house or a hotel. Sure. Uh-huh. It's going to be out in the wilderness though? Somewhere. What do you mean?
I'm still not sure. It's not going to be your backyard.
Come on, man. Even if I were to sleep in my backyard, you don't think that would be a big step for me?
You said Rob was wondering about a farm.
You know, a couple of months ago, Heather got really sick, and I slept downstairs in the basement on the couch. That felt a lot like camping to me. I don't see why I need to do any more than that. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Let's finish off the week by answering your questions, any question on any subject. 710-710, text us. We'll answer it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Pretty simple. You text, we answer. Not surprisingly, a bunch of questions about my upcoming camping trip. I've got a few weeks here. I got 3 weeks before I go camping. Jerks, anyone told Mike about mosquitoes? I mean, I grew up in the Northeast. I went camping in Maine. I'm pretty sure I know about mosquitoes.
You know about Northwest mosquitoes?
I've lived in the Northwest for 9 years. I don't think I've ever seen a mosquito.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't take this question very seriously until you made that comment.
I mean, I'm going to bring repellent because I'll be out in the woods, but like they're going to be worse than they are in Maine in humidity in August? I don't think so.
I can't speak to it.
All right. Maybe somebody who's done both could tell me. I'd be
now,
surprised.
Now, will you go with the, like, organic bug spray?
No, I won't. Heather will. I don't care about that. I'll use whatever.
Strong, heavy DEET.
Yes. Okay. The more DEET, the better.
Good.
I don't use it often enough for it to create a long-term problem. So I want right. to use the stuff that, you know, is bad for you.
Plus, you've been eating it on fruit for years.
It'd be an interesting study, and I bet a scientist may be listening right now. Like, is that DEET more... more effective with you and your kind of hair situation? Like, does it live on the
right?
On
stays
the hair
on the outside.
Longer?
Yeah, it's probably better.
Or does it stay on the outside, not really penetrate in? Or
I got to be honest, I barely use sunscreen on a lot of my body. I just don't need it.
You don't need it.
Right.
No. Next question,
Salk. What form of self protection will you take camping to fend off wild animals? Well, I figure I got my kids for that. If there's a problem, I just throw one of them at the bear and run.
Oh. The only protection you need is don't be the slowest guy.
Right, and my kids are not nearly fast.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, sure. You're totally fine.
Well, more appropriately, I've got the other family's kids. Like, I could definitely throw either Oliver or Cam at the bear, and that's like, nope, I don't even have to deal with the consequences of that.
Will you go bear spray? Will you try to get a little bear spray?
Well, we had bear spray when we were in Montana hiking, but they won't let you take it on the plane, so we had to leave it there.
Oh, right.
So, I don't know, maybe we'll buy new bear spray.
Oh, there
spray.
It goes again, man. You got to buy something again.
Maybe, again, I just hope the Morrises have it. I don't want to buy it.
Next question.
Camping is the fun of it. It's supposed to be cheaper than going on. If I'm going to spend all that money, why don't we just go to a nice hotel? Why don't we just go to a JW Marriott somewhere?
Kids will never remember it. They'll never remember that trip.
Nope.
So?
Next question.
So what? Is that why we're doing this?
Yeah, it's about the kids, man. It's always about the kids.
Let's see. Guys.
Future. Teach them well and let them lead the way.
Next question.
Salk, why don't you just camp in Brock's backyard?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I said that I was willing to drive, but not that far. Like, I'm looking to get to the wilderness. I don't need to drive for 4 hours just to go camping. I'm sure there's plenty of places closer to Seattle than Brock's house.
Oh, speaking of drive, I had a little drive last night in the East Bay. All these towns like Pleasanton and Walnut Creek. This area is beautiful.
It's really pretty. So much traffic.
I have never, ever been out to some of these places. It is gorgeous out here.
Yeah. That's where my mother-in-law lives. It's great.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Sac State, where Luke the Duke is, too. Beautiful campus. Yeah, and if you've all been waiting for 2 hours and 50 minutes. Luke and I got to the bottom of it. He did not feel resentful, nor was he bitter in any way. He couldn't have done the fishing trip.
Still.
He's just in camp season in June. He doesn't have till July where he's off. He just knew he couldn't go.
He wasn't jealous that you and Damon hung out together for the weekend?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe just a little bit.
But not mad.
Asked how good a time we had, but not mad. Okay. No. Luke's not
next question.
Age. He didn't punch out windshields or bank ATMs or anything like that
at
in
least
college.
He didn't none tell you that. Afterwards. Yeah.
He has none of that quaking Bob Stilton rage. None of it.
Let's see. Jerks. I'm getting married in a few months. I can't decide on what to do for the suits for the guys. Rentals? Buy them? Black tux? Thoughts?
I think I've done it all except for black tux.
I had a black tux at my wedding. I bought it, and it was a mistake. In retrospect, I wish I had not done that.
Yeah, don't buy a tux.
You can
people
get a
say,
nicer
buy
tux spot.
Buy a tux. Don't buy it.
Well, they tell you it'll never go out of style, but they
it
do.
Does.
They completely change styles,
absolutely.
And I wish somebody had told me that.
Don't do that.
Other than that, it doesn't.
Next question.
Rent. Simple.
Elope.
In the jungle.
Rack 'em. Guys, I'd like to set the over-under of 6.5 items that Salk forgets while camping. Will you take the over or the under?
I'm going to go
pays,
over.
If he pays for them, he will forget none of them.
Here's the thing. I'm going to probably make a spreadsheet with everything we need and then
that's
like
right.
check it off on the list.
That's right.
You're going to get there and then realize there are things that, like, nobody told me about this.
But I'm going to blame Rob if that happens.
For sure. Or
like,
Heather.
It's up to him to tell me what I need, isn't it?
No
He's
question.
A veteran camper.
You're not
no
just
going to
do this for a day, right? Like, you're going to go for a weekend?
No, just a night. One night. And we're leaving
and
Saturday
we know the
morning.
It's all, we know the circles you run in, all right? It's bring your own materials, okay?
So yeah, don't get me started.
He's going to ask. He's going
no,
to ask you to
it,
bring
no.
your own stuff.
No, they'll be fine. Rob,
next question.
Kyle knows Rob. Used to babysit for him.
Didn't I?
Yeah,
mean
I
Rob?
Babysat Rob.
No, Rob used to babysit for Kyle.
Did I mean Rob at the Sports Star of the Year?
Different Rob.
Other Rob.
Different Rob. Different. Oh, okay.
I got two friends named Rob.
Oh,
a lot of Robs.
Yeah. Robs and Nicks and Chris's. All over. Who doesn't?
I mean, if you really do go camping,
kids don't know anybody
the whole
those
deal,
names.
It will be fascinating to see what you eat. I'm without it.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, hot dogs, right? Isn't that sort of a go-to
we'll
for camping? I mean,
we'll
what else
see.
Do you? What's a normal camping food besides hot dogs?
We'll
one of the things I've started to love is the chip bag nachos, where you
good.
Like make chili and cheese
like
and fixings,
tacos.
And you open up
oh,
a little
yeah.
snack bag of chips, and
I
you put them more inside, shake them up, and eat it.
That sounds great. I'd do that. Maybe we'll catch a fish and cook it. Maybe not. Maybe I'll stop at Whole Foods on the way and pick up a fillet of a fish.
We'll have a Caprese salad out on the riverfront.
Well, remember when we went to the yurt, Heather and I bought apricot Stilton.
This is we gotta go.
Is everybody gonna have a great weekend? I can't wait
yes.
for the weekend. I'm psyched.
About
I feel like
time.
This has been
weekend.
A really long week.
Sheesh.
Are you going to be back on Monday, Brock? Are you ever coming back to the show? I feel like you've been here
know.
One day in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like it. Kind of like watching you from afar. I'm watching you right now.
What am I doing right now behind the camera, behind the screen?
Well, it's a little delayed. You just put the sheets in your hand, just move them to the side.
No, there's only one finger in my hand sticking out, I promise.
Oh.
All right, we got to run. Thank you, everybody. It was a lot of fun. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Monday morning, 7 a.m. Till then, the hay.
Bottom.
See everybody.
This is the chopper!